And I just want to thank Kim for her excellent presentation, and she certainly echoed many of the feelings and thoughts and actually ways that we do things in New York City, and some of the challenges that she spoke about were certainly things that challenged us as well. It's been almost a year to the day since New York City learned that they were having an eruption of H1N1 virus last spring, which took us all by surprise. And the purpose of my talk today is to talk about the lessons that we learned from that springtime outbreak and how our immediate planning took an existing program, which is the public health detailing program, and we were able to sort of turbocharge that program for our fall campaign. So I'll be covering lots of different aspects of that and how our program, which is really centered around provider education, was very, very helpful and beneficial for the city of New York. I'd first of all like to thank Dr. Jane Zucker, who's our assistant commissioner in the Bureau of Immunization, as well as Edward Wake, for their collaboration with our program each and every year. My program is housed in the Bureau of Chronic Disease Prevention and Control, but public health detailing actually works with many different bureaus and programs within the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. And so today, like I said, I'll be giving you an overview of our pneumococcal and influenza vaccination campaign, which is a yearly event for my program. We'll be talking about how that became part of the emergency planning efforts that happened during the summer and into the early fall of this year, and what action kit materials we were able to develop from those collaborative efforts, and how that really was translated into other programs such as school health and some of our hospital association programs, and then what we learned from the process. So, what is public health detailing? Have any of you heard of public health detailing before? Our program started in 2003 to provide educational outreach, as I said, mainly to primary care physicians in the New York City areas of high need. So we have target neighborhoods that we go to, and we speak one-on-one with primary care physicians, their staff, and occasionally we will also speak with pediatricians and OBGYNs, depending on the campaign that we are covering. So we have covered over 40 different campaigns on a variety of different health, public health topics in New York City. It's an innovative program in that it was first modeled and fashioned after pharmaceutical industry best practices. So I think it's a very clever idea, and the real idea is to bring those same communication methods and strategies and marketing strategies that we know work and on which the pharmaceutical industry spends billions and billions of dollars every year, and take that and make it our own. And I think there's a lot of reasons why that works very well in New York City. I think it can also exist and be replicated in other parts of the country. And the literature on communication strategies, and specifically about academic detailing, which is a slightly different version of what we do, we really have all of the components that are shown to work to provide effective behavior change with our providers. And some of those are the one-on-one approach of really sitting down with somebody and having a collaborative conversation. We have highly trained representatives that work with our medical experts in preparation for each campaign, and I'll be talking about that in a little while. We also create visually appealing materials for the offices, not only for our medical providers, but for them to have very meaningful conversations with their patients. And then, like the pharmaceutical industry, we have a commitment or a call to action on the part of our providers from our representatives to make sure that they agree with and don't have any questions about what we are presenting to them. So some of the further goals of the public health detailing program is, first and foremost, to promote the evidence base of the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's key recommendations around a particular campaign, but also, and I think equally important, to reduce the healthcare inequities and the disparities that we see in New York City's communities of greatest need. Every year we do a 10,000 person telephone survey called our Community Health Survey, and this data is what we use every year to help form our programs and to know what's really going on in our different neighborhoods. And I think also very importantly, public health detailing has fostered a really wonderful relationship with our community healthcare providers. They have a much better sense of what the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene means to them, what resources and collaboration and partnership we can provide to them. And I think, especially in this campaign this year, the ones that normally see us were delighted that we were back with accurate and up-to-date information, and the new offices that we saw were equally grateful and impressed that we would spend the time and the effort to send people one-on-one to speak with them. Public Health Detailing's first campaign was actually around vaccination and influenza pneumococcal vaccination in 2003. So it's a topic that's near and dear to our heart, and every year we do some sort of a promotional effort with our target offices to make sure that they're aware of the changes to the recommendations, if there are any, and also to provide our communities of greatest need supplementary pneumococcal and seasonal vaccinations, which they very, very much appreciate. And as I said, we're there to give the updates, and we bring the CDC cards for seasonal and pneumococcal vaccination recommendations. And then I think very importantly, we also provide just a great selection of patient educational materials that highlight the benefits of vaccination and all of the points that Kim mentioned about being culturally sensitive and in plain language and espousing good health literacy principles are things that we put into each one of our campaigns when we design them. So I've told you a little bit about what public health detailing is and why we do what we do, but let me show you where we typically go. On the map of New York City, you will see in the purple and blue colored areas, the areas that we really focus on. Those are our target areas of high need. We have 6 health department representatives that cover those areas in Harlem, the Bronx, and Brooklyn. And then for this campaign, we were also contracted by the city hospitals, so the City Health and Hospitals Corporation, to provide outreach to their workers, who some of them had been redeployed to ramp up some large-scale vaccination sites. And they felt that it was important to make sure that their workers were well-educated and up-to-date as well. Typically, we'll see about 260 primary care sites, and that includes all of the ambulatory care sites in New York City. And it includes sometimes, as it did in this campaign, OBGYN and pediatric offices as well. So I just want to take a step back and look at what happened in the spring. We all know what happened in the spring and how we were able to translate that into our fall planning. Immediately after the spring outbreak had been contained and things had settled down a little bit, we went back in June and July to start our earliest planning efforts. And this was citywide, really, starting with the mayor's office and the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene and numerous city agencies and hospital emergency planners. And one of the key issues that we were trying to tackle is the last point on this slide, is that we wanted to make sure that ED surge, possible ED surge in the fall, would be well managed and that we would have strategies for circumventing that and reducing any possible ED surge that might happen in the fall. So that helped us make some of our materials. We also wanted to make sure that we communicated well the timeline for vaccine development once we knew that, and that was certainly a large unknown, as we all know, and how physicians could order and track their vaccinations. This was on the mind of all of our customers, and we also didn't want to lose track of the key messages that we deliver each fall on the importance of the seasonal and pneumococcal vaccinations. So we wanted to really make that the core message, and we wanted to be able to provide resources for our providers, such as our nyc.gov/flu website, and information about how they could enlist in the Health Alert Network as well. So looking at our key recommendations, which we have for all of our campaigns, which are evidence-based recommendations, and they're going to be familiar, is to strongly recommend the appropriate influenza vaccine for all at-risk patients, to screen all patients to also determine if they need a pneumococcal vaccine, and to vaccinate your staff as a healthcare worker and make sure that you are vaccinated for both seasonal and H1N1 influenza as early as possible in the season, and then to continue to vaccinate high-risk patients throughout the season. So these are messages that our representatives would be delivering to their customers, asking them if they agree, what are their feelings, is it something that they're already doing? How can they do this better? What kinds of mechanisms do they have in their office? For example, if they use an electronic health record, how are they going to send out letters? How are they going to call their patients in to make sure that they're well protected? So we take those key recommendations and then we start to develop our materials. This is a process that normally takes 6 to 9 months for a campaign. So we're already planning our campaigns that will take place a year from now in our office at the same time that we're conducting campaigns out on the street. In the fall campaign, we collaborated certainly with the Bureau of Immunization, who we collaborate with every year, but also with the Bureau of Communicable Disease and our Healthcare Emergency Preparedness Program. And each of our campaigns, which we'll I will show you more pieces in just a minute, have three components. One is clinical tools, the other is provider resources, and then patient educational materials. And as I said before, many of the materials that we develop centrally and in collaboration with the rest of the agency were used for different kits that went out from our agency, so they were multi-purposed. Let's start with provider resources. What I'm showing you here are two examples of our city health information. This is published routinely on different topics. And again, up at the top in the peach-colored box, you will see the Department of Health key recommendations listed again. And we actually had two that came out this year. One was on influenza prevention and control, which is an annual publication that we have that really goes into detail about each of the key recommendations. It's fully cited. Providers are able to get CME or CNE credits for reading and completing questions at the end of each city health information. And then we also had, in response to our spring outbreak, an outpatient clinical management of influenza city health information. So that was a special edition that we did for this year. Another example of a clinical tool that we developed, which was very popular and also in response to the spring outbreak, was a pocket card, which is called the Management of ILI Algorithm. The goal here was to help providers in the community be able to treat and retain their patients, because what was happening in the spring is that patients were directly referred to the emergency room, and several of our key emergency rooms were very, very overrun with patients. So this really was something that the providers needed and wanted, and the response to this card was tremendous. On the back, it had resources such as our 24-hour provider access line. So if there was a specific patient issue, providers could call and actually speak to another physician who was on call to discuss specific patient care issues. We also had links to the nyc.gov website, the CDC, and other pertinent resources for our provider community. This was incidentally adopted by other departments of health in the country, and several other clinical groups did contact our office to see if they would be able to use this algorithm as well. Moving now to patient educational materials that we have in the kit, and specific to this kit is something that we actually took text from the CDC website, and then we repurposed it with the image that you've seen throughout the kit campaign, which was our media campaign showing really the devastation of influenza. In past years, we've had really sort of happy images of Grandpa reading to his grandson. There's a little son in the background. And this year, we wanted to make it a little bit more ominous, if you will. We wanted to show the priority groups of pregnant women, the elderly, and young people, college-aged gentleman who's laying on the couch, and this young girl who is being cared for by her mother. And we really wanted to get the message out of what patients could do to take care of themselves, as well as hopefully prevent the spread of and the transmission of the H1N1 and seasonal flu. More patient education, things that we brought to our offices and that were brought to schools were things like cover your cough posters. We had a triage poster for hospital and provider waiting rooms that said, stop if you have these symptoms, report immediately to the front desk. And also a simple message of wash your hands, which we know is very, very effective. So, this is, I can't show you all the action kit pieces, but I do have a few kits if anybody would like to take one of them with them. I have a few that I'll give to you after the presentation is over. But let's move on to the campaign itself. And in every campaign, I told you, we have a training that is conducted with in concert with our medical experts. And we spend about 2 days going through the disease state and logistics, such as for this season, how providers would register with our city immunization registry, our CIR, and how they would, who the priority groups were, how they would get vaccine eventually. And this was very helpful for our representatives so that they could answer any question that came to them. Some of the concerns when we went out to the campaign and talked to providers live were certainly the barrage of media stories that we heard and their accuracy. Providers even would confess sometimes that they were curious about the safety or efficacy of the vaccine itself, so we had to overcome some barriers there sometimes. Also, they wanted help with the shortages that we heard about and experienced, and how they could get assistance even obtaining antiviral medications. So our reps were very well versed to cover those concerns with their providers. I'm going to show you some of the results of what we were able to do. We saw over 100, almost 200 practices, 195, 157 in our target neighborhoods. What also happened a few weeks into the campaign is that several of our city representatives were redeployed to school vaccination pods. So we actually didn't hit the numbers that we thought that we would, but overall we did pretty well. We had over 1,400 one-on-one visits with practitioners. Some of those would be repeat visits, bringing back materials or handling follow-up questions from our providers. And we saw another almost 200 people during group presentations that would largely be in the hospital setting. And most of our visits actually were with staff, such as medical assistants and RNs, but we had 30% with the MDs, PAs, and NPs. And an average visit length was about 14 minutes. And if you compare that to the pharmaceutical industry standard, that is somewhere between 3 and 7 times longer than most representatives in the pharmaceutical industry spend with their providers. So we were really engaging in meaningful conversation and doing some real problem solving with our providers. Every campaign, we do an evaluation component, and something that we'll typically do at the beginning of the campaign is assess provider practice and what they're already doing in their office. And this is a campaign that we do every year, so many of our providers are already familiar with the core recommendations that really don't vary too much each year. And we had a huge amount of interest in this campaign, especially when you consider the fact that many of the providers we were seeing were first-time people that we had never met before. And they were welcomed overwhelmingly by when our representatives called on them. So if you look at the interest or the adoption, meaning that providers were either already using or were willing to adopt one or more of our key recommendations, we had 98% interest in adoption for this campaign. So to conclude, the reps also provided a very important function for our Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and that is that they were able to bring back information of what was actually going on in the community. We can plan our campaigns as best as we possibly can, but then we find out the reality sometimes when we go out and speak with providers about what's working and what's not, and then we can quickly tailor the campaign to overcome those barriers. We were able to answer the immediate need questions that providers had, which is very important when you're communicating and trying to change behavior, because you're not going to be able to move people from point A to point B if they're still back on point A and they want their question answered. So once that happens, we were able to refocus them on the vaccination messages and some of the key recommendations. We were also able to troubleshoot with them during the shortages, and some of our reps got very good at knowing who had a supply of vaccine and being able to help physicians actually redirect their patients to get the resources that they needed. We also signed up many people for our Health Alert Network and provided referrals to our provider access line and to our website. So really, the bottom line is the person-to-person contact. And I think the success of public health detailing really comes down to the people factor. And I'm a huge believer in this method of trying to change provider behavior and therefore allowing those providers to have more meaningful conversations with their patients to help the patients do a better job of self-management and goal setting for their own health. And we see that in most of our campaigns. This one's a little bit different in the fact that we're really focused more on the providers. We were able to really get the key recommendations communicated, and this was a very, very successful part, I think, of the citywide planning effort, and we were struck by the goodwill and gratitude, the goodwill towards the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and also the provider gratitude for our ability and willingness to develop these materials and then send people out to deliver the messages. So I just want to thank you for your attention this morning. Here is my contact information, and I'll be happy to take a few questions after the end. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.